welcome back. Hour number three. And if you haven't been able to look at headlines, do take a look at them. At least read the headlines. If you don't click and read all the stories, that's fine. That doesn't matter. The idea is to read those headlines every day. It'll keep you up to date as much as you can get without spending hours and hours. There's so much information out there now. An awful lot of it's false. It's corrupted. You know, it's 60-40, 80-20. It's just not worth your time. But we try to make the headlines succinct and intelligent and to the point. There are a number of headlines that are particularly concerning to a lot of people now. Are we or are we not pushing Vladimir Putin into the corner to the extent that we may be looking right down the jaws of thermonuclear war or some variant thereof? I don't have the answer. But all the indications are there's no one talking about withdrawing, downplaying anything, trying to come up with a constructive solution or resolution to the problem in Ukraine. No one is introducing anything except the Russians and their somewhat spotty talks with alleged Ukrainian officials. They're making gestures. They're telling the Ukrainians, you have to promise you will not become a member of NATO. You have to give up on the idea of recovering Crimea. You've got to leave the republics in the east alone, etc. But they won't do that. So we have an ever-increasing grave crisis. I don't mean to scare anyone, but you've got to be aware of it, and I think most of you are. Probably know more about it than I do. At the backbone of this whole effort by Russia to go in and liberate Ukraine are two primary issues. One, 8 years ago, when Vicky Nuland went in there with $5 billion U.S., and the Bidens and all the rest of the crooks and criminals, and overthrew with Soros the legitimately, everyone agrees it was a legitimately elected government, and the whole effort was to destabilize the country, allow oligarchs to take over, and they did it. So, number one, Russia was going in there to try to reverse the coup d'etat which occurred 8 years ago in Ukraine. Number two, and more importantly, the Russians knew full well that the Pentagram had been building U.S. BSL-3 and BSL-4 bioweapon and biowar laboratories on Ukrainian soil. And the best guess is that there are around 30 of them. The Russians have captured a lot of them. I don't know if they've captured all of them, but they have hard drives, they've got papers, they've got actual samples. What do you think was going on in those, let's just say 30 labs all over Ukraine? What were they doing? Trying to come up with a better marshmallow? No, they were building weapons to use against Russia. And if we had 30 bioweapon laboratories on the Canadian border, just across the border, put there by China, how would we feel? The same way the Russians feel about what was going on in Ukraine. There are 10 more labs, and they're Western funded, about 10, in the state of Georgia over there. So figure there's maybe 40 bioweapon labs, usually using viruses to try to create something that will be absolutely unsurvivable. That's the nature of bioweapons and warfare. All right, Erica and I are back with you tonight. Welcome back, young lady.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back.
You're brave to say that. It's a crazy world out there. Wow.
You made it through another day, knock on wood.
Isn't that the truth? I think you've just summed it up. It's a day at a time now, friends, and if you still have any disposable income, go dispose it at Costco. I don't own Costco stock, but it's cheap. You can buy all kinds of freeze-dried, add water, boil food. You're going to need food. You know that food prices have gone up 20.7% already this year, and by the end of the year, God help us, Russia will no longer export wheat or any other crops this year, not till the end of the year. Ukraine has shut down all exporting of agricultural goods, gone. You think you're going to get it from China? which is now talking about having one of the worst wheat harvests in a long time over there. They're going to keep it for their own people. So where's all this food to feed 320, well, however many are left, 300 plus million Americans? It's not here. So you have to provide for yourselves. So do that. Even if you go in there with an extra $100, buy food and put it away. You will actually emotionally feel better knowing that food is in a closet or wherever you're going to keep it. That's not a joke. The Zionists in the U.S. and the U.K. are calling that little toy boy, Zelensky, a Churchillian figure, as in Winston the drunk pervert Churchill. They're calling him a Churchillian figure. And if you look at the top of the homepage, I think you'll get a different idea of just who this guy is. Take a look at him. Watch him. Listen to him. We put the sound up there for you, too. So we have the U.S. Zionists and the U.K. Bolshevik Zionists vowing to defeat Russia in Ukraine. Now, they say they're going to do it without putting military boots on the ground there. What are they doing? They're shipping in enormous quantities of weapons and armaments that are absolutely deadly to trucks, tanks, APCs, you name it. I do not understand how the Russians think they're going to enter Kiev, a city of 3 million, and conquer it without horrific losses. I don't know. I think there must be other ways being discussed right now as we speak. They're wargaming this too. You can bet on it. What do you want to add here, Erica? Anything from your perspective? You watch this stuff too during the day.
It's obvious. It's a nice distraction, I think, well-timed distraction from the COVID narrative, almost as if it was planned. It's hard to know how much of it is posturing in theater and how much of it is legitimate.
Well, there's no theater out there that's suggesting anybody in the West is trying to defuse the situation in Ukraine at
all.
Right, nothing.
I agree.
And I am
If anything,
appalled.
They're antagonizing them.
They're making it worse. Now they're trying to get around 30 Polish 30-year-old MiG-29s into service in Ukraine, but they'll be shot down quickly. If you'll notice, the Russians have not used, I don't even think they've used S-300s yet. Those are surface-to-air missiles. They have S-400s and S-500s, which are, they're unbeatable. They'll take anything down. But they don't want to use them because if they do, the West will have AWACS planes and they'll monitor and record every electronic impulse, message, signal, signature that these weapons make. So the Russians are holding back on using the S-400s and S-500s. Those are surface-to-air missiles. So we don't want to spend the whole hour on military geopolitics, but it is important to understand that the situation right now is critical and becoming more so. It's kind of like the guy who went in the hospital with the flu, and now they're going to put him on remdesivir. It's getting to be that bad. We are looking right at the face of potential nuclear war. That said, the Russians on their side are saying the U.S. is in fact now waging economic war against Russia. And that's a fact. If the U.S. is supplying the bullets just because they're not pulling the trigger, doesn't make them any less liable, in my view. So we're splitting hairs here. So it's not a good thing. Now, let's go back to these bioweapons labs. Let's figure there are 40 of them, just for the sake of discussion. 10 in Georgia, 30 in Ukraine. Those are reasonable guesses. Let's explain to our friends out there what a usual activity in a bioweapons laboratory would what would it be? What would they be doing?
Well, they'll claim that they're studying these pathogens to prepare for the possibility that they could be used potentially as a weapon and to come up with remedies, vaccines, to protect against them in the event of encountering them as some kind of weaponized threat.
So but they're pretending to be
reality,
defensive in their orientation.
They're
defending.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's the euphemism. But in reality, they're doing gain-of-function research, which is making naturally occurring existing pathogens more pathogenic.
Pathogens including bacteria and viruses. Oh, excuse me, viruses don't exist. Never mind that we've been studying them and tweaking them and creating. People now can actually create a virus from ingredients. That's amazing to me. They can actually make one. So, but anyway, it's like the flat Earth thing. It's got adherents, and they have some arguments that are, I guess, somewhat interesting to some people. They got some real serious noise to brag about in the media. So, okay, at least that. Now, let me go back to these bioweapons. There's a very good video out by Greg Reese, I guess. Is Greg? I think it is Greg.
Greg Reese.
Anyway, he put together good piece of video together. So we're going to play this right now, and then we'll talk some more about these bioweapons, which we have had. And if you saw when I posted that 1969 House Appropriations Committee hearing where the DOD went in there and asked for $10 million to build a virus which would be refractory, in other words, damaging and devastating, to our normal immunological competence. And they got the money. That's 1970. So here we are today in 2022. And here's the video. Got to get by the ad. Hold on. There we go.
For years now, Russia has made verifiable claims that the U.S. is running secret biological weapons labs around their borders. And while Western media now claims this to be misinformation, back in 2013, they reported on it. While the United States and Murder Incorporated have been waging illegal wars all across the world in the name of democracy, Russia has been quietly selling energy and minding their own business. And according to National Geographic, this was the reason why the Pentagon was building these bioweapons labs in the first place, because Russia was entirely quiet on the subject, and the U.S. wanted to get ahead of them. The initial biolab in Kazakhstan was built by the U.S. for $100 million to store high-risk diseases such as plague and anthrax, and was hoping to attract scientists who might otherwise create biological weapons of mass destruction for someone else, in order to keep the world safe. The U.S. has since built several labs in Kazakhstan. Most recently, a biosafety level 4 lab to be completed in early 2022. As early as 2004, the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, began creating a network of biolabs for infectious diseases in Uzbekistan. And within a few years after operations began, outbreaks of unknown diseases were reported in the same areas as the labs. In Georgia, leaked documents show that the U.S. Embassy has been transporting deadly pathogens and human blood as diplomatic cargo in a scheme where private U.S. contractors working for three different U.S. biolabs have been given diplomatic immunity to do so. Shortly after Russia invaded Ukraine, At War Clandestine released a video with maps of U.S. biolabs matching up with maps of the recent attack, suggesting that Russia was securing these top-secret biolabs. Western media claims this is false, but fails to debunk it. And once the video goes viral, the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine is caught deleting evidence of these labs from their website. But not before an independent journalist was able to copy documents showing 11 Ukrainian biolabs funded by the Pentagon. The Russian embassy to Bosnia has accused the U.S. of filling Ukraine with biolabs, which were very possibly used to study methods for destroying the Russian people at the genetic level. And we now know that these so-called mRNA vaccines are destroying people at the genetic level. We now officially know that COVID-19 is a man-made bioweapon. We know that it was funded by elements of the NIH and Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance. We know that it was made in Wuhan, China. And so, what isn't threatening about the U.S. encircling Russia with top-secret biolabs? And who on earth thinks it's a coincidence that everyone involved in the United Nations Great Reset are now the Ukraine's greatest allies of all time? The mercenaries and war profiteers in America are getting excited about making short-term profits off the dead. But the only ones who will benefit from this war are the crooks at the top who have been caught committing the most heinous crime against humanity in all of recorded history. And the only righteous way out of this is to hold these crooks accountable. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Okay. And how, pray tell, can we hold these crooks accountable? Through the International Tribunal? Through the International Criminal Court? In other words, we have identified the enemy, and there's virtually nothing, in a pragmatic sense, that we can do about it. It's interesting to know your executioner, but you can't stop the execution.
No, especially when, you know, there's so much deceit and cover up and lies about what's actually going on.
I have never seen more lying in my life than I have in the last 6 months. It's all lies. The American media has virtually nothing to do with journalism. Don't kid yourself. Journalism has been weaponized. It's going all the way back to Edward L. Bernays. He figured it out, how to use the mass media to change the masses. And he did. The Russians have told the U.S. formally now, and I quote, "We have found your biological weapons in Ukraine." So the director of the Information and Press Department of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Russian Federation, Maria Zakharova, told the U.S. flat out, "Today, we have found your biological weapons." She went on to say there was a statement made by the Deputy Secretary of State, Vicky Nuland, "leave no doubt, will not give Washington to be silent this time around. Their attempts, while spilling blood, to find biological and chemical weapons throughout the world are not stopping. We have found your own products. We have found your biological material. As it turns out, it was all happening in Ukraine." So they've got it. They've got the hard drives. They've got a lot of people's names on documents, I'm sure, in those drives. Not to mention the actual evidence itself in vials. Little vials. How well named could a little bottle be? Vial. Interesting.
Yeah, I imagine some people are not sleeping well right now. Wondering what information they got a hold of.
Did they get my document that I signed over on this and that date to them? You know, honestly, if they have clout, like some of the more well-known, then they don't have anything to worry about. We don't have a media here. We have no journalists here. And we have journalists, they're going to be dead if they start getting into any real material, any real discoveries, any real research. They'll be dead. Danny Cusolaro was the one that comes to mind. Years ago, he was murdered. And there have been so many since. It's pretty disgusting. So U.S. bioweapons labs in Ukraine, along with the simple fact that we overthrew the legitimately elected government of that country and its president, Yanukovych, 8 years ago, were two of the primary reasons that Russia went in. And I'm not taking anything away from Ukrainian resistance or their will to fight for what they think is their country. I don't want to see anybody die on either side, frankly. That's my take. But it's going to happen. And there's not a lot we can do about it. You can't call your congressman or congresswoman or your senator. You see Lindsey Graham in that video a few years ago over there talking to Ukrainian troops. What's he doing over there? He's a senator supposed to represent the people of the state from which he is elected. So this is all, it's all crazy. It's just crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's, I'm just astonished at how many of these labs were actually in this one little country. 13 BSL-4s? 13?
Wow. See,
you know, what are they doing?
Yeah. Well, what you're saying is so important. BSL-4 is supposed to, I've heard rumors that there are a few BSL-5s around, but BSL-4s would contain active cultures of viruses and bacteria that quite literally, if they were to get loose, could wipe out all human life and maybe all life on the planet. And I read this 30 years ago, that there were, at that time, a bacteria that was known and was talked about, and a fungus, which in both cases, if they were to have been let loose, could have destroyed all life on the planet. And that's 30 years ago. So is it hard to build something with a spike protein in it? No. And we know the spike protein is brutally vicious. That is as Dr. Chetty said, the most evilly deadly thing humankind has ever developed.
So far. And I don't think we've seen its full effects.
No, well, we're going to talk more as we progress here. We're beginning to see, I think, the unmistakable beginning of a very big death, a very horrific death wave. People are seeing their immune systems begin to fail them, as Dr. Blaylock said, as the German scientists determined. You just take two shots and you only have 13% of your, 12% of your immune system left. And what was left after one more shot, one booster? I don't know. Probably nothing. And so what is the big story now? You have AIDS. And they're trying to hide it, as we've said over and over again, behind an alleged HIV reemergence. No.
That seems to be the story.
Have you seen anything on any groups online that has to do with the alleged HIV coming back and causing AIDS? Is that in a group yet? Are you seeing AIDS groups, people with AIDS, even though they think that they got it from HIV, it's still AIDS, but it's VAIDS. It's from the bioweapon.
No, I mean, the HIV positive groups, I think, have been around for some time. That's not new, so it would be hard to parse out, you know, newly diagnosed people,
right.
You know, whether or not that was associated with the vaccine or the result of the vaccine. There's no group set up specifically for immune collapse from the vaccine at this point that I'm aware of. But I do, in a couple of the practitioners groups that I'm in, they are reporting that they are seeing patients presenting with what appears to be immune system collapse, the, you know, opportunistic infections, just low-grade fevers, swollen lymph nodes, night sweats, things of that nature, which are suggestive of a failing immune system.
We need to remember that what's going on in the body is not isolated to a certain major organ group or organ or the skin or the legs or the arm. It's head to toe. It's everywhere. Whatever is in there, most obviously the spike protein. We don't yet know what that other protein is that was recently discovered. We don't know what it does. But the spike protein goes wherever it wants and does whatever it wants. It does many things. Now we have the beginnings of something that I think we should do this now. People are calling it vaccine remorse. It's like buyer's remorse. You buy a car and you couple months later, you know, it's a lemon and you got screwed and you don't want it, but you're stuck with it because you got a loan and all that. So we got vaccine remorse. And these people who are figuring it out now that they have been betrayed at the highest possible or maybe lowest possible level, their lives have been taken from them, ruined. They'll never be normal. Their lives are either ended early or they'll be cripples and impaired for the rest of their lives. Now, you sent me one here today. This is interesting. And it's called, I guess the group is called Vaccine Long Haulers rather than COVID Long Haulers, which is kind of, it's an accurate statement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to, go ahead and read that. If you have it, you can just, the F words, just leave them blank. Just say blank, whatever. Or I can read it. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Let me see if I've got it here. You can go ahead.
All right. This is from a woman named Mima Girl. Coping with side effects and abuse of power. We were blanking robbed, lied to on a scale so big we can barely understand it. What was supposed to protect us ended up sticking to us like a chronic illness. We're getting no help from doctors. We're being dismissed by our own families and friends and are being censored for trying to voice our pain and seek help. Nobody here consented to being subjected to this much pain. We are victims and are being made out to be crazy, anxiety-ridden, evil clowns standing in the way of a COVID-free world. Months of being invalidated and in pain. I don't know about you, but it has personally made me feel subhuman. We are being abused and we don't even have the energy to fight back. We're just being swept under the rug. How disgusting and how sad. What the blank is going to happen to us? How crazy is this? We're left to contemplate the possible long-term devastating side effects while everyone else just sees us as an unfortunate statistic. I feel like I'm losing my marbles. Like what the blank, imagine censoring people for talking about their traumatic injuries. We are literally blanked. I feel like the horrible side effects I have gotten were less damaging to me than the realization of how absolutely blanking rotten human beings are. We were exposed to the absolute ugliest this world has to offer. I feel so hopeless and angry. And that's a very important statement, because what she said about being neglected, I'll be polite, by friends and family and others, because they've been damaged and injured by this? What is that about? Where's compassion?
It doesn't exist. I've never seen such division in a society. It's tragic.
As these people get sick, Erica, they're only going to get sicker. Who's going to take care of them?
That's a good question. You know, the able-bodied, if they're willing, I don't know. Kind-hearted people out there that will.
There are. Many of them are nurses.
Some compassion on them.
And many of those nurses are out of work now because of the mandate that they take the deadly bioweapon jab, and they knew it, or they lose their jobs. And a lot of the nurses did take the shots. I don't know how many, but there were a lot. And talk about vaccine remorse. It's right there. Go ahead.
I did see today, it was a sign somebody posted on a dental practice that said that they are not serving, if that's the right word for a dental practice, COVID vaccinated patients.
Really?
Now, of course, yeah. The obvious assumption is that the practice is trying to protect their employees from the risk of shedding Or it may be that these dental patients, having had this vaccine that's doing a number on their immune systems and their blood, the dentist may not want to assume the liability of working on patients that have these compromising conditions.
So if you're vaxxed, where do you go for dental work in this case? I mean, I think
we're becoming, you know, a sort of a separate society. It's going to be divided, you know, vaxxed versus unvaxxed, and I think many service sectors.
And the sad thing is the vaxxed are going to be struggling with, as Dr. Blalock said, diseases and disorders and conditions that we may not even have names for. When the immune system dies, the door is open for any kind of infective process, bacteria, virus, mold, yeast, fungus, you name it, that comes along. And what are you going to do? You want to go home, talk to your family? They say, you know, you better stay out of the room. You might be contagious. We're going to have millions of people like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's two things going on. There's the blood that's not carrying oxygen. It's thick, viscous. So it's not serving the, you know, the capillary bed that feeds your vital organs. And that's a stressor in and of itself. I mean, a poorly oxygenated body is going to breed pathogenic organisms. They're, you know, the ones that are already colonizing us will become opportunistic and feed off the dying tissue. And then there's the immune system itself that's handicapped because of the brutality of this platform of injecting genetic material that's not supposed to be there and producing a toxic protein that just decimates everything it comes into contact with.
Decimates. At this point, what are your thoughts about once you've genetically been altered, you're a GMO, to produce the most deadly pathogenic protein that humankind has ever been involved with? What's going to happen to all these people? Is their body going to somehow stop producing these spike proteins? What's the best guess right now, Erica?
Well, a recent study that just came out showed that, at least with the mRNA vaccines, this is not the adenovirus J&J or AstraZeneca, but the Moderna and Pfizer, they detected the protein was still being produced at 60 days. And it might have gone on beyond that, but they just stopped looking for it at 60 days. So it's possible this goes on indefinitely.
Maybe for years.
It could. It depends which organs and tissues mm-hmm. became transfected with the material. Some organs and tissues are prolific producers of proteins, and others are not. But they'll probably be producing this protein on some level forever. And if not, the way the body's been sensitized to it, almost to a point of being allergic to it, every time somebody encounters it, you know, in the environment, gets a good dose of it, they'll have a reaction to it, hypersensitivity reaction to it. They knew what they were doing. I mean, this is
every step of the way.
The epitome of a bioweapon, just a slow-acting, stealth bioweapon.
I'm still amazed at how tragically, I hate to say it, but uninformed, if I'm really the average American who stares at commercial television for news and information is dumber than dirt. It's not their fault. I'm not speaking down at anyone. They don't have a chance. They don't know that the Pentagram built up to 30 bioweapons labs in Ukraine? BSL-3,
BSL-4. No, they don't have a clue.
They don't know anything about Kazakhstan. They don't know about Georgia. We've circled the southwestern portion of Russia with the most deadly biological weapons-producing plants that may be on the planet. And we're expecting, well, what if it happened to us? What if there were 30 plants in Canada, another 20 in Mexico, right just across the border? No one thinks about this because they're not told the truth. They're not given anything to choose from. They're given one story, one version, and that's it. That's it. Now, here's another weird one. Talking in a simple pedestrian sense of things, as many people think, the chosen people, the Jews, in Israel, you would think that they would have absolutely not gone anywhere near these kill shots. But what happened? It turns out, and believe me, the Jews know what's going on with these shots. Israel is the most vaxxed country in the world. And now we find out that the death rate in Israel is already 10 times higher than ever before. It's a possibility that Israel may cease to exist in a few years, or maybe less. We just don't know. Now, here's Dr. Zelenko, a brilliant doctor who has saved many people, and has got a two-minute video here or so about AIDS. He said they have AIDS, meaning people who have been injected. So let's listen to Dr. Z here. Well, 3, 2, 1, go.
So according to Israeli funeral directors, in their own papers,
funeral
they're seeing
directors.
a 1,000% increase in death.
Yeah.
10x. If one person would die a day, 10 are dying a day. And the ages are much, much younger, and the causes of death are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
A 20-year-old just didn't wake up 2 days after taking a shot.
Wow.
Stuff like that. I mean, that's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel is the most immunized country in the world.
Yes.
Especially from the perspective of multiple boosters. Israel is the number one country with 3 and 4, with people that took 3 or 4 shots. And what is the official cause of death according to the government? Omicron. Now,
wow.
Let's analyze that. Omicron is much more infectious than measles. There is no way to stop the spread of Omicron. Not even the Zelenko protocol. Can't help you there. But the good part of Omicron is that it limits its damage to the upper airway, not the lower airway, which killed most people. And so it causes a bad flu.
Okay.
We could deal with that. We can mitigate those symptoms. We can even have preventive strategies. And by the way, to contradict the Israeli data, no one else is dying from Omicron, essentially. Not on that scale.
Yeah.
Especially in South Africa, where it came out, mm-hmm. America for sure, and my practice directly. No one's dying from Omicron. It's really easy to treat if you do it in the right time frame. So why are Israelis dying from Omicron? And I'm not denying that they're dying from Omicron. Mm-hmm. But there's another reason. There are dozens of peer-reviewed papers that show that these shots have destroyed the innate immune system or damaged. And it's dose relevant. It's people that took 2 shots are worse than people that took 1 shot. 3, even worse, 4. Yeah.
So it gets worse as you continually take the booster.
It's dose related, apparently. So what the majority of Israelis have, they've acquired something. I'm using words very, very carefully. They've acquired an immune deficiency syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They have AIDS.
They have AIDS. But it's not the traditional kind, as we say over and over again. But AIDS is AIDS. You have no immune system. You got no defenses. And that's where they're taking them.
Yeah, it's... I mean, Israel's been ahead in the lead of this whole thing all along. So if you want to know what's coming, you look to Israel, and secondarily the UK.
There's a new, I hate this expression, side effect. There's a new injury from the bioweapon injections called cryoglobulinemia, a.k.a.
Well,
it's
said. Well,
I was slow there. I didn't want to kick it. The spike protein is causing this new effect. And if you look and guess, it should be there. And you can click on it. Just look for C-R-Y, like cry. Okay? And see if that opens up. Let me make sure it's there, because I want to look at this with you. Okay. So you look under Jeff and Erica, and you look down there, and you will see it as the third item listed under our names, a new side effect from the bioweapon injection. It's right there. So click on that, open it up, and take a look. And what do you see? You see a horrific picture. You have this open?
Yes.
Go ahead and read it. It's a text, it's a post, and there are pictures with it.
Okay. Please help me. I have heard many wonderful things about your Opulence Tarot, which I'm assuming is some kind of a salve, from a dear friend. I have been trying to order and see you are out of stock. When will you be restocking? I had a severe reaction to the COVID vaccine and developed a very rare condition called essential cryoglobulinemia type 2 and type 3. I am undergoing treatment for it, but it has left me with huge necrotic sores on both legs. The sores are deep, large, burn, and are very painful. Next week, I will go into the hospital to have my blood cleaned and then begin an infusion therapy to rid me of cryoglobulinemias. The sores are my biggest problem. They are healing, but they are very stiff, and I have been told I will have severe scars on both legs. Is there any way I can get two bottles of Opulence to use as soon as I get out of the hospital? If you say yes, I will send you payment information ASAP. Please help me.
Okay, so we go up to the other picture there. There's only one picture, and it's a picture of one of the legs. And it's she writes, "Ugh, I'm so disappointed I didn't get it again. I was trying to buy two bottles, one for myself and one for my aunt. I'll include a picture of her legs." So this is the aunt's leg. Oh my goodness, is it too forward of me to ask, is she diabetic? No, this is not diabetes. She is not. She developed this after her J&J vax. Now look at the picture. That's a leg. That's a thigh. And if, for those of you who can't see it, it's a thigh, and there are very large black. They look like scabs, but they're actually dead tissue. They're black. And you've seen pictures of other dead tissue before. It's necrotic. It's dead. And it's spreading all over. And I don't know what to tell people about this. This is clearly being caused by probably the spike protein. Maybe through its hideous habit of shutting down the blood flow through capillaries, causing the cells that no longer get blood to die. And they begin to die and they spread as more and more capillaries are shut down. What are we looking at here beside a leg that needs to come off, or nearly?
Yeah, obviously the circulation feeding her skin is compromised. And technically, these cryoglobulinemias are clumps of immune cells, and maybe we can assume they're clumped with the spike protein, you know, just these circulating immune complexes. And when the temperature drops below 98.6, it these things can kind of aggregate and form a plug in the capillary bed, in the capillaries. And so it starves though that area of blood and oxygen, and it can die. And
what
clearly,
happens,
you know, by the time it turns black, it's dead.
What happens if that happens in the brain? You start to see capillary shutdown.
They say if you're having these symptoms on the exterior, there's every possibility it's also happening in the interior, in particular the kidneys. And now we do have a lot of people having kidney problems after these shots.
If you look further down under guests at the last link, I've rerun it. We ran it Monday. It's called COVID Toes, Hands, Legs, and Feet, Death by Spike Protein Microclotting. Now, this probably is different than the cryo. And if you look at these pictures, we've seen them before. This is necrotic dead tissue, probably caused by capillaries that are no longer able to carry blood. And the tissue dies. It's that simple.
Yeah,
so look at
if
these
it can't
pictures.
Get a blood supply. So this could be going on some level in anybody that's gotten this shot. It's just, you know, in people that have pre-existing vascular disease, like diabetes, you would be apt to show up sooner. But the spike protein does a lot of damage to the endothelium, and that can be the trigger to having this progress to something that looks like this, just killing, starving the tissue of oxygen.
So the spike protein docks to cells on the inside of the vessels or circulatory system and begins to build up blockages.
Well, there's that, or the endothelium, you know, according to Sakharat Bhakti and Charles Hoff, some of these cells in the endothelium are actually producing spike protein. They were transfected by the lipid nanoparticles, because the lipid nanoparticles don't distinguish. They can go into any cell. It doesn't need a receptor of any type. So their endothelium is possibly producing spike protein, and it, you know, rather than having a nice smooth vessel wall, you've got a spike sticking out of it, and the immune system sees it, begins attacking it. And then the blood vessel becomes very compromised. It builds up scar tissue, cuts off the blood supply to the organs that it's feeding. It sets the stage for disease, there's no question.
This must be kept always in mind, that when you see things like this on the extremities, it's probably working throughout the entire body. Just keep that in mind. And when you have no immune system left, when you have AIDS, they're calling it AIDS, just remember that, it's not necessarily HIV, you are in real trouble because you've got no defenses anymore. Your body is go ahead.
These situations just breed bacteria. I mean, it's just, it's tissue that's starved of oxygen, and without the oxygen, it starts to die, and the bacteria come in, and then you've got an infection, and then, you know, in severe cases, the infection spreads to the blood, and now you've got sepsis. Or necrotizing fasciitis, which, you know, if you get that, that's bad.
Streptococcus is what it is, and it's everywhere. You can actually pick it up on the ground. It's just, it's there. But usually people don't have a problem with it. But these pictures are really horrible. And once you've taken a look, you'll remember, so no reason to dwell on them. But this is all part of the biggest horror show ever perpetrated on humankind by allegedly other humans. And that's certainly something that could be debated. This is almost an, such an inhuman thing that you wonder who's really behind it. I don't know. I don't know. All right. That's it for tonight for our Wednesday program. Thank you, Erica, very much. And
my pleasure, Jeff.
Good job. Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks. All right. We will be back with you tomorrow, Thursday already, as we roll into the end of another week. Let's keep good thoughts. Talk to you tomorrow.